everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show. Going to get near record highs, mid-90s here before the week is over. But Tom, then the winds come in. You know, I don't like the wind, but we've got three look like windy, dusty days. But the good thing about the wind this time of year, it does usually translate into cooler temperatures on the other end of it.
That apparently is what is happening. This is a harbinger, beginning Sunday, apparently, with the breezy conditions, and a harbinger of a change. We may get some sprinkles Tuesday.
Oh, we could surely use them. Today is Arizona Gives Day. It's Wednesday, April the 6th, 2022. We support three particular charities here on the Buckmaster Show, and you hear their spots, their messages daily on our program. Equine Voices, we support Tucson Wildlife Center, and we support Pima Animal Care Center. Those are our three charities of the Buckmaster Show, which is in our 12th year here on the radio. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted news talk source, where the worldwide live listening is at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line for his monthly visit to the program, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacha. Councilman, how are you?
Doing well, and that's really cool that all of your the nonprofits that you support are all critter-oriented. I love the Wildlife Center and, of course, PAC and Equine. But, you know, you could also add to your critter menu the Zocalo group out there. They've got the petting zoo out of Green Things.
Oh, yeah.
And, so then they've got a summer program for you, for kids.
Right across the street from the Green Things property is that organization that helps disadvantaged children. I think it's called TROT, Steve Kasacek.
Yes, it is.
These are young people with special needs. They put them up on these very gentle horses, and believe me, the therapy is wonderful for these kids.
Yep, it just does amazing stuff, and they do great work out there.
So did the meeting, I'm a little confused. I thought it was yesterday's council meeting was a return to in-person.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, and we had full intention of doing it until literally 24 hours before. And the inside baseball is that the technology wasn't working inside the council chambers. You know, we were getting feedback on the microphones and, you know, all that. And so we just decided to look. And people calling in would have been getting the kind of feedback as well. So we just said, let's wait till we get the technology figured out. We'll get it figured out one of these days.
The budget discussion began, I believe, for the upcoming fiscal year yesterday. Is this an optimistic picture or what?
Well, actually, the city manager asked to continue that item from the agenda, and the reason he did is because they are still crunching the numbers. But to your real question, it is going to be an optimistic projection. One of the reasons for that is because we've benefited so significantly from both the CARES money and the ARPA money, the Recovery Act money. Throughout COVID. And so we were able to do a lot of things for employees, for members of the community, for small businesses throughout the community. And we have a cash carry forward now that we simply would not have had if we had had to do all those kinds of subsidy things for, you know, like I said, for our employees and the community members, simply out of the general fund. So we're looking pretty good moving into next fiscal year. I say that with a little bit of hesitancy, though, because the federal dollars are going to go away, and we're going to have to float this boat on our own, and as is totally appropriate. I don't want to overshoot the mark and start, you know, just throwing money around like a drunken sailor and giving people raises and pretending like tomorrow never exists. So I'm still going to be cautious when we do get the budget discussion, which will be coming at our next council meeting. And you know, we move forward from there. But I we're in a much better situation now from a budgetary standpoint than we were, say, 3 or 4 years ago.
And I do want to promote the fact that Tim Tomier will be with us on Friday. He'll be our Friday Focus interview. Tim, a real knowledgeable guy. He's now, I believe, what, the number two person in the city manager office?
Yeah, I don't know if they do a pecking order or mm-hmm. that they split their assistant city managers off by subject matter. But Tim is an absolute wealth of knowledge when it comes to our water policy. It was several years ago when Tim was our water director
right.
that I began the initiative on looking out at the PFAS contamination in our groundwater. And Tim and I have been working arm in arm on that for the last, 5 or 6 years. And he brings a strong resume to the table. I know Mike Ortega leans on him a lot for picking up some of the more controversial and tough lifts within the city manager's office. And frankly, Mike has a strong team that he's assembled. And, you know, he's got Tim and he's got several other assistant city managers who really do have a strong skill set. I think we are well represented in the city manager's office.
I took a look at the numbers, and they only come out now once a week, as you know, Steve, from the Arizona Department of Health concerning COVID. The good news is that this is a 7-day total. It works out to about 75 cases per day, and it had been running, my goodness, at least over 100. I can't remember when it was below 100. So today is somewhat of a landmark occasion that we have now gone below 100. That doesn't mean that COVID isn't still in this community. You know people, I know people, I think all the listeners know people who are still getting COVID, Steve.
Yeah, so it's nice that the numbers are trending in that direction. You're right. State Department of Health Services is only making the announcements weekly now, which is probably appropriate, but I hope that they're tracking them daily. I know I heard 2 or 3 days ago that the new subvariant, BA2, is now the dominant strain in Arizona. I know New York and some other northeastern states are having new relapses of COVID, new surges. And so this is not in the rearview mirror. And we saw this play out 12 months ago when people took the masks off, people decided that we were done with it, and all of a sudden we were in a midsummer surge and we were back at square one. You're right. I do have friends who right now are in their home with COVID. Mm-hmm. My bride was delivering food a couple of days ago to some friends of ours, and you know it's tough. It's not behind us. And much as we would like it to be, you know, we just had the book festival. We just had the 4th Avenue Street Fair. You know, we just finished a full season of athletic events on campus, and I think people still need to really be cautious about it. It's a kind of a sneaky virus, and it has mutated now to this new subvariant that is even more transmissible than Omicron was. And, you know, we have some built-in immunities, thankfully. Part of that is because of vaccines. Part of that is because people who have had COVID. But the fact that the numbers are trending in a positive, in a good direction right now doesn't mean that this is behind us. And I really want people to be cautious. We also have to be concerned because the number of people getting boosters is decreasing. In other words, people are not taking seriously enough the need to get a booster on their vaccination. And that's going to increase their vulnerability going forward as the new BA2 subvariant moves its way throughout the community. So if you're in a category to get boosted, don't take my word for it. Talk to your personal physician. There are still people who are immune compromised who can get that second booster. And right now, CDC is recommending anybody above the age of 50 to make sure that you get you're up to date on your shots.
And my scheduling is I'll get my booster coming up next week. which will give me the full complement of four shots, because I am, of course, in that over 50 category. Steve, let's pause.
Just barely.
Thank you, sir. Steve, I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. A big shout out to Steve, the owner of Mona's, and his team. People, Steve Kasachek, are now waiting for Steve to open the doors at 6:30 Tuesday through Sunday. And I want to urge all my listeners to give it a shot. Find out what all the excitement is about and why people are waiting in line. And you know why they are, Steve.
Oh, yeah. You know, in fact, my mother-in-law is going to have her 101st birthday coming up in a few weeks, and we'll be back out to Mona's to get another Kringle for that celebration. But yeah, no, it's great stuff, and they have a lot to be proud of, and I'm glad that they're one of your sponsors, because they're really an icon in the community.
They are. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. We'll have more with Steve Kasachek right after we take a break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We're just so proud of our lineup of supporters for this program. Green Things, they do such a beautiful job. Jan and Jack, the owners, the knowledgeable sales staff there. If you have any kind of gardening questions, they will personally walk you to the particular part of the 13-acre site where they have the particular plant that will do very well in your garden. They'll answer just about, I'm sure, anything to do with gardening. They've got an answer. 3384 East River Road in their 51st year of doing business. They are open daily. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now back to our conversation with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. And Matt would like to join our conversation. He's got a quick question for Steve. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, Councilman Kasachek, everybody in Tucson knows what a huge fan you are of Kansas, and a friend of mine, John, wanted me to remind you to share some words, rock chalk. And moving on, also, I think you did a an op-ed this weekend about Afghanistan. I'm correct. Is that correct? Or
yeah, it was. Yes, I did.
Yeah, and
okay.
Yeah. So, generally speaking, you know, just on foreign policy in general, besides the Afghanistan refugee crisis, which I think is very important, if somebody was the, you know, the foreign policy with regards to cybersecurity, I know it's not a big issue, but something I've been you know, we've been trying to raise awareness to businesses in town and to government in town that, you know, we haven't experienced a cyber attack yet. Do you think Tucson is prepared for a cyber attack? And I'm, that's a serious question. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Okay. And so nobody in the recorded universe knows what the words rock chalk mean when they're put together. A rock is one thing, a piece of chalk is another. So the Kansas basketball fans have to figure out their own logo before they start bragging on this national championship. The other thing, as to cybersecurity, that is serious. And in fact, Matt, it's a very timely question. We had an executive session just yesterday on the city's preparedness in terms of cybersecurity. And we had representatives from our IT department who are participating. And of course, because it was the executive session, I'm not going to start spilling the beans publicly. But the short message is that the city of Tucson has a very robust cybersecurity network. One of the things that has made that more challenging is because we have so many, not just the city, but we generally have so many more people working remotely. And so you have laptops at homes, you have people logging in on their cell phones, you have different ways that people are communicating now all over the internet and all a potential hole in the cybersecurity network. And so while the IT folks can set up firewalls and things on, you know, on computers that are people are operating out of their offices, it involves an entirely new set of challenges to the IT folks when people are working from home and driving around with their remote devices and still connected. So yes, it's a huge issue. Yes, we are concerned. In fact, it was less than a week ago that the city IT people, in fact, it was last weekend that the city IT people were alerted that there was an attempted breach. They're all over it. We've got quality folks running that department, they, you know, obviously stopped whatever intrusion was being attempted at the time. But, you know, we watch this international stuff, and we know that that cybersecurity internationally is a huge issue. You know, we have some, for instance, our water department our water department is tied in with TEP as two utilities. And if one or the other is breached, we would have a tough time delivering water. The good news is that we have about a 6-day supply set aside that we could still deliver by gravity. And we wouldn't have, we'd have time to work through the breach. Mm. We also have a secondary, it's called a SCADA system. That's a SCATA. It's a, if you see work going on around one of our water wells around town, it's probably Tucson Water implementing a secondary protection at our water wells. And that's directly related to Matt's question. So, So yeah, and the issue of Tucson Water, Tucson Electric Power, some of the other utilities around town, and the county. You know, we're working together on these issues. It's not as though anyone can be the Lone Ranger and pretend, you know, that they've got this all figured out on their own. And so there's a lot of collaboration going on. But really, really timely question and a very important issue.
Okay, thank you, Matt, for that question. My friend Tim Steller had an interesting column in the Star on Sunday. It's your district, the Midtown district, where there were these high hopes at Speedway and Campbell for, I believe it was an over 20-story building or a tower that would have retail, office, and residential space. It's been a big disappointment, hasn't it, Steve?
Yeah, Richard Schenker, I was the developer, and we went through a very extensive rezoning process. A lot of people were very concerned about the massing, about 20 stories. Richard hired an internationally renowned architect. It was controversial, but we got it across the finish line, and it was going to be a combination of some anchor tenant retail on the ground floor and maybe the second and third floor as well. Then there was going to be some parking. There was going to be some residential, some office components as well. Richard had some trouble getting the financing because that dragged out for a while. The one of the anchor tenants bailed out, and so he's had to go back to the drawing board. And so as I understand it, he is moving forward at this point, perhaps with a slightly scaled down version of what was approved. But I'm hopeful that, you know, that Palm Shadows apartment complex has been there longer than dirt. And it needs a serious facelift. In fact, it needs to be demolished and redeveloped. And that's the direction we're headed, and hopefully. And I hope Richard is successful in pulling the financing together and getting some anchor tenants back in there. You know, and Tim was right. I mean, we have some single-story commercial on two of those corners. We have the A-Loft Hotel on the third corner. And so this fourth corner is really waiting and begging to see some significant development. My comment to Tim was that, you know, we go through a lot of work to get these rezonings through. And by we, I mean so the general we. You know, my office was involved, I was involved, we had architects, we had developers, we had neighbors, we had our planning and development services people, a zoning examiner, public hearings. There's a lot that goes into redeveloping, to rezoning a corner like that. And then to have crossed that finish line and to be kind of staring at the ground waiting for dirt to start turning and it not happening is a little bit troublesome. So, but hopefully we're heading in a good direction now.
And that is such an important gateway. That's the east side gateway to really the entire University of Arizona campus, Steve.
Yeah, it was. And that's why Richard Schenker was very intentional about hiring a renowned architect. It's not what he had planned, and I hope it continues this way. It looks nothing like the student housing you see at the west end of campus on Speedway. I mean, those are just towers. And what he had in mind was going to be an architectural gem. We'll see what they come back with now with it scaled down. But you're right. I mean, that's the gateway to campus, and you know, Speedway Campbell, and you know, once you pass that intersection, you're right there. So, you know, a quarter mile away is the mall, and another quarter mile away is the stadium and McHale, and you know, then another quarter mile away is Old Main. So, you know, it's all right there, and he was ready to go, but you know, things happen, and that's the way the economy works, I guess. But hopefully he's heading in a good direction now.
At the council meeting, were folks talking about, was the street fair a success? I mean, are people back for these events? It seems like we're starting to get back to something of a normal, a pre-pandemic normal, Steve Kasachek.
Yes, the street fair, the Festival of Books, Centennial Hall is fully booked. You know, we have downtown events at the Fox, at the Convention Center, at the Rialto. you know, things are popping again. And again, with that caveat that you and I spoke about right before the break, is, you know, if you are in an immune compromised situation, make sure you get your boosters. If you are in a vulnerable category, there is no shame in wearing a mask when you're in public crowds.
It's true.
And if anybody tries to shame you on it, then shame on them, because this is, you know, this is not beyond, it's not behind us yet. I walk into stores all the time, and half the people are masked and half the people aren't, and that's mm-hmm. totally fine.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel like you need to wear it, then wear it.
Yep.
And protect yourself and protect others. And, you know, so, but yeah, so to your question, yes, things are popping, but people have the right to protect themselves and, you know, let's put the mask on and be safe and engage with folks to the extent that you feel comfortable.
All right, Steve Kasachek, stay safe. Thank you very much for joining us.
Absolutely. I always appreciate it, John.
Thanks a lot. Bill Buckmaster.
I said John because of Matt's question.
I know about Kansas. He asked about Kansas,
yeah,
and there is no bigger fan than John when it comes to Kansas. Have a great afternoon, Steve.
All right, Bill.
Okay.
Take care.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Next Tuesday, the University of Arizona Center for Innovation launches a new business incubator outpost at Biosphere 2 to support renewable energy and sustainable tech startups. There is so much going on these days at Biosphere 2. Let's bring in our friend John Adams, Deputy Director of Biosphere 2, where he is also the Chief Operations Officer. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
Wow, there is so much, as I say, going on. First of all, what is the UA Center for Innovation, John?
Well, we're going to be a location where the Tech Park at the University of Arizona has UA Center for Innovation as their primary headquarters. And then regionally, they've set up these additional locations that support and promote specific types of technologies based on their regional location. And for us, it really fits in and dovetails nicely with what we're doing here as it pertains to food, energy, and water, and people's health. And sustainable technologies, renewable technologies, are where we're heading, and it's a great opportunity to showcase them and provide a venue and space where these folks can develop their technologies and test them.
So the entrepreneurs, John, would utilize the various physical spaces that you have available at Biosphere 2, is that correct?
That is correct. So some of them will be outside testing ideas, and some of them potentially will use the controlled environments that is Biosphere 2.
There are so many things that you are working on, issues surrounding the environment, food safety, and security. So this would be a pretty good fit, I guess, with the research going on currently at Biosphere 2, John.
It's a perfect fit. And, we're really blessed to have this facility right here in southern Arizona in our backyard. It's originally Biosphere 2 is a 3-acre structure. It has a rainforest, an ocean, a savanna, a marsh, a desert. The U of A recently has renovated one of the spaces and created a large landscape research area. But all of them allow us to do experiments that can't be done in a lab because you don't have the scale, and you can't do them in the field because you just don't have the control capability. So we're this nice middle ground that complements both lab and field research.
So these startups, John Adams, would go through a structured 27-point roadmap. Give us a little idea what that's all about, John.
Well, for some of these folks coming in, by very nature, they're entrepreneurs. So they're starting out, they've got an idea, and what UACI has set up is they have set up resources to help them navigate everything from, how do they even just go ahead and get a business license, to how do they file for patents? How do they ensure that they're protecting their patents? How do they then market this idea to potentially get investors? And then how do they promote this product and take it out to market? So what they've done with the folks at Tech Parks is they've been able to set up all of these resources under one roof. They provide an opportunity for collaborations among the entrepreneurs, but also among the various groups that help to guide them along their way as they go from really an initial concept to something that hopefully eventually goes to market that you and I all benefit from.
Well, and if people want more information, I guess they would contact Biosphere 2, is that correct?
That is correct, absolutely, and you can contact me. I'm on our website at biosphere2.org, or you can go to uatechparks.org, and you can find additional information there as well, because there's a number of startups, not just the ones that are here at Biosphere 2, that are housed also at UA Tech Park. It's a really exciting program, and to have it right here in southern Arizona is just amazing.
Over the years, Biosphere 2 has had real robust activities associated with Earth Day, and Earth Day is just a couple of weeks away, and this year will be no exception. John Adams, walk us through what's planned at Biosphere 2 this year.
Well, we're excited because this year we're partnering with Run Tucson, and so we're going to kick off the morning with a 5K run walk right here on the grounds. And if you haven't visited Biosphere 2 recently, or you haven't visited ever, you really need to come out. Not only is the facility amazing, but the scenery and the landscape is really I don't know of any other place that rivals it here in Southern Arizona. Of course, I'm biased. So we start off with that run walk at around 7:30. Then we do a kids dash at about 8:45. We have some award ceremonies around the run. And then there is going to be a band here associated with the TMC Earth Day Run. We will also have some of the different sustainability groups from campus here on site. And Bias for Two is always open. I mean, every day is Earth Day here at the facility. And so one of the things we're going to do is allow people to go through and traverse the facility and see the unique systems and learn what we're doing on a day-to-day basis and how the research we're doing, we hope, is going to benefit everybody.
You know, I was looking back over your long career, really, and you've done some wonderful things at Biosphere 2, but you've been with them a long time, and going back, I believe, to 1999, you really were there in some of the early days with Biosphere 2. Share with our listeners, John, how the whole mission of Biosphere 2 changed over the years.
Yeah, I think, you know, the headline that captured everybody's attention was this idea of this facility potentially could be a precursor for something that would be used or deployed on the moon or Mars. And I think we know, as ambitious as that was, the idea that we're going to be able to build something like this on the moon or Mars is really way out in the distant future, in my opinion. But it has transitioned now because fundamentally, they built Biosphere 2 to understand Earth itself, Biosphere 1. And today, the research that we're doing can't be done anywhere else in the world. I don't know of any other place, you know, that have got a half-acre rainforest, and then you as a researcher could come in and say, okay, I think the temperature is going to get warmer. You can actually warm it up inside of our rainforest and see how not just an individual plant, but this entire system responds. And what's truly valuable scientifically about that is that it gives an opportunity to gain insight into some of these processes that tie everything together in ways that you couldn't do anywhere else. So it's really exciting to see now that it's owned and operated by the University of Arizona, and they bring an incredible and storied research history right here to Biosphere 2.
A question I've never asked you before, John, about originally when Biosphere 2 was built, back in the early 90s. I'm just wondering, to try to duplicate something like that in today's dollars, I would imagine, John Adams, it would be enormously expensive.
It would be. And so the cost at the time, you know, the numbers that have been out there, there's several of them, but to the best that I can sort of pull together, it was about $250 million. And this is late 80s, early 90s dollars.
Wow.
So we all know how rapidly inflation is increasing here recently, but even if we just took into account inflation, I mean, we're looking at something probably well over $1 billion to build today. And I think of Biosphere 2 as an accelerator for the earth sciences. So we think of these colliders where scientists are smashing atoms together, the Large Hadron Collider, the most notable one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a huge initiative. The University of Arizona, world-renowned for building telescope mirrors that are deployed in arrays and on remote mountaintops to look to the ends of the universe, but we've never created a comparable tool to the accelerator or to these telescope arrays to look at Earth, but yet, you know, we're not going anywhere, and we're dependent on everything that happens right here on Earth for our existence, so we better understand what's happening and how it may impact our lives.
Good conversation, as always, John. Let's go over a couple of key points for our listeners. First of all, begin with the Earth Day Run.
Okay, so the Earth Day Run, if they would like to sign up for that, you can go to runsignup.com, and again, or Run Tucson, and they'll have all of the information on how you can sign up. That starts at 6:30. We're going to ask people to get here around 6:30 to 7:15. Race starts at 7:30. It's great event for everybody, regardless of your ability. So I would love to see everybody out. And then we'll have a lot of different groups and clubs out here starting at around 9:30. And the entire day, Biosphere 2 will be open for people to go through and explore the desert and the savanna, look down on the ocean, go into the rainforest. So it's a really great opportunity.
And for those that, and we always have new listeners, we have new visitors, where is Biosphere 2?
So Biosphere 2 is just north of Tucson. So if you're in Oro Valley, continue on Oracle Road, which turns into Highway 77. And we're about 25 minutes from Oro Valley, maybe even 20 minutes from Oro Valley. It's a very easy drive. And again, this time of year is a great time to visit. The temperature is just perfect because you do spend a little bit of time outside, but then you're inside as well. And it's a really unique opportunity. So if you haven't visited Biosphere 2, you know, I would encourage everybody to come up and see what's going on.
And you've got a great elevation. It's a little higher than Tucson. It's like a perfect climate. I think it's, what, about 3,500 feet, something like that, perfect climate.
Yeah, just a little bit more than that, and we're always a little bit cooler than Tucson. So as it gets warmer in the valley, it's pretty nice up here.
All right. John Adams, good talking with you about this incubator, business incubator outpost that will be soon at Biosphere 2, and you've got the Earth Day run and a lot of activities. Always a pleasure. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right. John Adams, the Deputy Director and Chief Operations Officer at Biosphere 2. We're going to break right here, and we'll be back to tell you about a very interesting program for veterans. The state of Arizona wants veterans to come to work for the state. We'll tell you about it right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Just looking at the current temperature over in Silver City. Perfect. 71 degrees. Great temperature to go out and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. That's one of the many attractions that you will find after you take that about 3-hour drive east of Tucson. Find out more by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find everything you need to know about your upcoming visit, including where to stay. There's some great places to stay and so many activities in Silver City. All right, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Phoenix. Colonel Wanda Wright is with us. Colonel Wright, the director of the Arizona Department of Veterans Services to tell us about the governor's new initiative. It's called AZ Hires Vets. Colonel Wright, how are you?
I am great. Good afternoon.
Tell me a little bit about what's being planned, what is being executed, what's going on.
So we had several state departments with the governor's office guidance to create a program that would sort of generate some energy behind hiring veterans to state government. You know, veterans were in the military and they were already doing a great public service. And we thought it might be nice to offer them the opportunity to continue their public service and work for Arizona state government.
How many state employees do you figure have self-identified as veterans?
We have about 3,200 veterans, or about 7% of the state government workforce. And our goal is to increase that or double it to 15% by 2025.
What areas are available to these people? How can you help them progress and maybe advance in their career with the state of Arizona, Colonel Wright?
Well, first let me talk about the website that anyone can go to for state positions, and that is azstatejobs.gov. And anybody can go to that or hr.az.gov/veterans and find out information. There's a veteran page there, and they can click on the button and go to the very specific information for veterans. And what we've had so far is on the 30th of March, we had a in-person hiring fair. We had over 30 state government agencies, and I think we had over 80 veterans come to visit all of those agencies and look at the positions that were available and talk to those state agencies about what those jobs entailed. I think it was highly successful. The veterans really got to understand what the state benefits are and what positions are open in state government for them. And I think even more specifically, what kind of careers can they get and have once they join state government?
Well, what kind of careers can they have? And I believe there were, 1,700 vacant positions available?
There are 1,700 career opportunities.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's plenty of opportunities to use either skills that they bring with them from the military, or if they just want to try something new, there's enough entry-level positions to get them started. And, you know, once a veteran starts a job, they excel. And so they move fairly quickly through the ranks.
The next job opportunity or the job hiring event, do I have this correct? I believe it's April 18th. Is that correct at the Capitol?
The next virtual, well, I'm sorry, the next in-person is going to be April 28th.
Okay.
And it's at the Arizona Department of Transportation Human Resources Development Center, and that's on 22nd Avenue, just north of Portland Street.
What was your own experience? I understand you're an Air Force veteran, Colonel Wright. Could you share with us what it was like for you to transition from the Air Force to the private sector?
Well, I tell you, I had a difficult time trying to find employment once I left. I was in for 26 years.
Wow.
So I retired out of the military, and a year before I knew my retirement date, I started looking. You know, they tell you during your transition process to you need to begin a year before. And at the end of the year, I still didn't have a job. Now, mind you, I came out right as the recession was happening in 2011. It was just sort of the end of it. So it was difficult. No one was really hiring executives. And so, you know, you think you have the right resume. You think you know how to interview, but I suggest to any veteran who's listening today, please go get help for your resume and get some interviewing skills. Because when you're in the military, at least as long as I was, you sort of forget about all that. and what that means and what it looks like to employers. So I ultimately found a job through networking. And I think that's something else that veterans don't necessarily do well, because they aren't necessarily in the state that they started from, and they don't know the community. And so it's hard to network. And so I always say, figure out how to network and learn to get those interview and resume skills up to snuff.
And certainly these veterans are entering a job force where there are plenty of jobs. We have unemployment almost at record lows. Everywhere you go, Colonel Wright, you know this, whether it's a restaurant or any kind of business, it seems like there's a now hiring sign out front of the business. So there's a lot of competition out there. But again, you say there are a lot of vacant positions, 1,700 vacant positions. And in these are, what are some of the areas, again, that the state is hiring? What types of fields?
Well, for instance, case management for the Department of Child Safety.
Mm-hmm.
There's juvenile corrections positions. There's the Department of Transportation has positions. Even the Department of Revenue was out there. And one of the ones that are my favorite, because I'm a finance person, is the Auditor General's Office. They have positions open. So I think, you know, if you're a veteran and you have skills, there are 35 agencies that you can look at to find a job.
And again, that website, Colonel Wright?
Yes, hr.az.gov/veterans.
What was your duty station? You say you were in finance. Is that you were in finance in the military?
I was. I graduated from the Air Force Academy in 1985. That dates me a little bit. my first duty station was Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where I was a budget officer. And then I was transferred to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson, where I was promoted up to finance officer.
Okay.
And throughout my career, I continued finance, and then I was a communications officer and then a personnel officer.
Are we generally a veteran-friendly state? I mean, I would, to answer my own question, I would think we are because of the military installations. You mentioned DM, and of course, Phoenix has plenty of military installations. I would think we'd be a very military-friendly state.
We are a very military-friendly state. We have over 500,000 veterans in the state of Arizona.
Mm.
And, you know, I give a lot of credit to our governor's office and the state legislature in creating laws that really support veterans. And so I think every year we receive more veterans coming into the state than the previous year. And how I know that is that our veteran VA hospitals have increased enrollment every year since I've been in my position. So the VAs are getting a lot of people enrolling in them.
And the VAs are improving, would you say, generally? Is the care improving for the VA?
Absolutely. That we have very good, our State Department has very good relations with our VAs.
All right, Colonel Wanda Wright, the director of the Arizona Department of Veterans Services, thank you for sharing this information that the hiring door is really wide open for our veterans in this state. I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Colonel Wright on our show, wrapping it up, and on behalf of Tom Fairbanks, Bill Buckmaster saying we'll be back in about 23 hours. We'll be having Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie will be joining us tomorrow.